We move to item number seven. At least Hannah's going to stay. I don't know, Penny, are you going to help out with this too? Great. Okay. So this item number seven is the periodic status review of several whale species. So we're going to get an example of what was just presented to us. And this is a briefing and public hearing and decision.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are going to talk about the whales, but first we were going to talk about the fisher. So I have sort of two back-to-back presentations, and I'm going to try to breeze through them relatively quickly to save some time. Okay, here we go. The PSR, the periodic status review, was put together by our wildlife biologist, Jeff Lewis, and he was not able to be with us today, so I'm going to do my best in his stead. A little bit about the natural history of the fisher. They use forests. They are in the low to mid elevation forests with closed canopy, and they require large woody structures both for resting and for denning. And they avoid areas with deep, fluffy snow, so they don't travel over that very well. They are a generalist predator. They eat primarily small mammals. They will take birds and reptiles. Interestingly, they're one of the most effective predators of porcupines. If you can imagine a porcupine predator, they're really good at that. They will also eat carrion and will take fruit and seeds and mushrooms as well. They are the fifth largest in the weasel family after the sea otter, wolverine, badger, river otter. They are, so a little bit about their status, they are state listed as endangered and have been there since 1998. In 2004, the western population of fishers were considered warranted but precluded under the ESA, so they were a candidate for listing. But in 2014, U.S. Fish did propose listing of that western population, but in 2016 withdrew the proposal, so largely due to some of the conservation actions that are happening here in Washington. Here's the map of their historic global distribution. And then I'm going to, that same map there, that same piece is down in the gray, the, where the arrow is. That's their historical range. And then by 1933, that range had contracted up to about 43% of the historical range. And then currently, their range has then spread out again, large, about to 68% of the historical range, largely due to recovery efforts such as reintroductions that have happened in multiple places, multiple times over the since that contraction. Here in Washington, this is their that gray shaded area is their historical, and then here is where they currently occur on the here in the Olympic Peninsula. All those little diamonds are release sites from the reintroduction efforts, and then the two circles in the South Cascades are again release sites for reintroduction efforts there. So, what are those factors affecting fishers? Overtrapping was really primarily the cause for their decline. The unregulated until 1933, then prohibited in 1934, but those populations did not rebound after trapping was restricted. In addition, habitat loss, so logging, and so I think those low elevation forests, logging and reduced and fragmented habitat, and then conversion to agriculture, tree farms, and development. You can think about the Puget Sound area or even the area around Seattle. You probably used to be pretty good fisher habitat and no longer is, obviously. So there, here's an example of one of those recovery plans that was written in 2004 and has really primarily focused on reintroduction efforts. And so we have had reintroductions in the Olympics. And that effort is, we're not actively putting animals there anymore, but we are placing animals in the South Cascades, and we have plans to do the same in the North Cascades. There's also habitat management plans in place in their range. So the Northwest Forest Plan has been particularly important for fishers on the federal lands, as well as state forest practice rules, HCPs, and Canada Conservation Agreement that I'm going to talk a little bit more about right now. So that Canada Conservation Agreement with assurances, the department was very active in. It's a What it is a voluntary agreement with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. DFW is the permit holder, and then we have enrolled other private landowners under a certificate of inclusion, that provides protection to the private landowner. So if the fisher were listed under the federal ESA, they would not be required to do anything more than they've already agreed to. And it also provides conservation benefit to the fishers themselves. And there are 45 private landowners, all the major landowners in the forests, and almost 3 million acres covered by this agreement. So results of our reintroductions, we did release 90 animals from 2008 to 2010, and we're now seeing them widely distributed along the peninsula, and we've had evidence of reproduction. We've got adult females producing kits, including two of the seven recorded litters had very record litters, so more babies, and that's a good indication of good habitat. In the Southern Cascades to date, so far, we have released 69 fishers, starting in the December 2015, and we have had confirmation of reproduction in the South Cascades. We're pretty excited about, and we're continuing to monitor that effort. So we're on our way to really an unparalleled conservation success. You asked about, do we get there? This is a really great example of we're on our way, but we're not there yet. We just need a little more time. Currently, we haven't reached the recovery objectives to down or delist. We have one secure population. We need multiple secure populations to delist. So our recommendation is to maintain its status as an endangered species in Washington. We received 4 public comments, and all were supportive of retaining endangered status. And then I have opportunity for questions on Fisher.
Commissioners? Any questions?
Okay. Great.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What was the source of the animals that were introduced into the state of Washington?
From British Columbia, so around the Williams Lake area in British Columbia has been the source. Okay.
I have a question. The CCA were all worked out prior to the federal decision not to list, because isn't that really where the assurances come from?
Yes.
And once that threat is removed, is the state able to negotiate further CCAs if needed, other participants in this single CCA? Yes,
because this, can we do a CCAA for non-candidate species? Yes, so there we could.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering what kind. Can we offer assurances that will help out to entice the landowners to join in?
So I think your question, Chair Thorburn, is related to maybe not the fisher, but other species that may not be listed yet. Do
yes.
we have something in the state, like a state-based CCAA?
Yes.
And I would say the answer so far is no, we don't. One of the mechanisms that really allows the federal candidate conservation agreement with assurances to be successful is the assurances bit on the end.
Exactly.
And that's, of course, related to really the threat of any regulation that might occur if it were to be federally listed. And I think as we tried to kind of explain a little bit on the state listing, we certainly directly and very little regulation actually occurs with a state listing. Certainly we do increased recovery actions, and there's the limitation of direct take, but there's less of an incentive for folks to sign up there. So less of the assurances piece that we have to provide them. That being said, we've certainly discussed many times, is there something state-based that we could do for our state-listed species that would be something like a safe harbor agreement, which is similar to a CCAA, right? And to provide a federal tool for folks to get interested in that. And I think we've had a little bit of interest from some industry folks, but that's not something that that in this state, I think, has had a lot of support yet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, just to address Commissioner McIsaac, I think you were talking about the source of the fishers. I just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit. The reason that British Columbia was selected for our source is that's actually the closest genetic match for our historic fishers that used to be here. So there's the source of gene flow was all up and down the West Coast coming down from British Columbia into Washington. And so although we've had an extirpated population for a while, it's as close as we could get to native fishers.
So on to whales. Now.
Okay. Yes. Now we're on to whales. Like the fisher, the biologist that put together this excellent PSR and also put together this PowerPoint, Gary Wiles has retired from the department, and I miss him dearly. So I'm going to do my best to in his stead. So we're going to talk about five whales: the blue whale, sperm whale, fin whale, the sei whale, and the North Pacific white right whale. And I'm going to go through, I've got about five slides for each one, a little bit about its natural history and status. So the blue whale feeds mainly on krill. They prefer these continental shelf edges and deeper waters. The stock that's listed here in Washington is the California, Oregon, and Washington stock. Historically, there were, we think, perhaps 2,200 whales, and the current stock size is about 1,600, and that trend may be stable. In Washington, they are regularly present off our outer coast. And just a note about these stock numbers, they're very rough estimates. It's tremendously difficult to get a really good handle on both the historic numbers and even the current numbers and their trends. Next, the fin whale. So this feeds whale is second largest to the blue whale. Feeds mainly on krill and also forage fish. Like the blue whale, they prefer those deeper waters off the shelf. And it's the California, Oregon, Washington stock. We don't have a good idea of how large their historical stock was. We think now about 9,000 whales with strong growth, and it is regularly present off our outer coast and very rare in the Salish Sea. The sei whale feeds mainly on zooplankton and other prey and prefers those deep oceanic waters. The stock that occurs here in Washington is known as the Eastern North Pacific stock. Again, its historical size unknown, and we currently think about 500 whales, so a much smaller number with an unknown trend. It's probably a rare visitor off our outer coast. So the North Pacific right whale, this could probably be the rarest large whale in the world, with maybe fewer than 500 total globally. It feeds mainly on zooplankton, again, prefers the shelf edges and deeper waters. It occurs only in the North Pacific Ocean, and ours is the Eastern North Pacific stock. Again, unknown historical stock size, but probably abundant. For our North Pacific right whale, the current stock size is 30 animals with a known trend. It's very rare off our outer coast, but certainly small numbers. So onto the sperm whale. This is the only toothed whale that we're talking about today. The others are all baleen or filter feeding whales. This whale feeds mainly on squid and prefers deep oceanic waters. It's highly social, forms females and young form groups, and it's the California, Oregon, Washington stock. We don't have an idea about how large the stock used to be, but we think larger than it is now. It may have a current stable trend right now, about 2,000 or just over 2,000 whales, and it is regularly present off our outer coast. All of these whales that we were talking about have been listed in Washington since 1981, excuse me, and have been federally listed since 1970. They're also all protected, of course, under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. There is no critical habitat designated in Washington waters.
So what are the factors affecting these whales? Certainly over-harvest during the whaling era, a huge effect. Despite the end of nearly all the hunting by 1980, many of these populations remain well below their pre-whaling abundance. And we even had our own station here in Grace Harbor, the Bay City Whaling Station. Also, ship strikes are a major concern to these whales. And even we had a fin whale hit just this year in the Salish Sea in March. Other factors affecting the large whales: entanglement in fishing gear and marine debris, certainly disturbance from sound and vessels. Climate change can be affecting their prey availability, oil spills, and other contaminants in the water. And then what are those conservation actions that are happening? The International Whaling Commission moratorium on whaling remains a very important component for these species, so prohibition on whaling. And they're also working on shipping lanes to help avoid ship strikes. There's a disentanglement team, disentanglement network, that's the word I want, and also actions to reduce marine noise. We're certainly monitoring and research undergoing. And stranding response teams, as well as oil spill prevention and response. Our recommendation is to retain all five of these species as state endangered species. And we had public comments, 11 public comments. 8 supported listing endangered, 1 was opposed, who believed that the blue whale population had rebounded and would meet recovery, and 2 comments to end all commercial fisheries. And that's it. Any questions?
Questions, commissioners? So I didn't see anything about commercial fisheries having anything to do with survival of these.
Yeah, that was the public comment.
Okay. Yeah.
Was there any public comments?
There's not any public.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ready for the motion?
Yeah. If there are no questions, I'll just quick tell a story. I just read an article on a new model on ship strikes probably being more of a problem than has been previously thought for many of these species. They have to do somewhat with their behavior. I was just down in California, and on the beach was a blue whale carcass. Boy, they're huge.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And the story was it had been struck by a ship. It was not mortally wounded at the time. It had many rib fractures, it drifted onto land and perished. But just an example, I imagine there was quite a bit of damage to the ship.
Yeah.
But it is certainly an issue.
Yeah, in the last few years, they've been increasing, it appears. Ship strikes have been increasing.
Interesting. Yeah. Yes. Having no public comment, is there a motion?
Yes. I move to retain endangered status for the fisher, blue whale, fin whale, Say whale, North Pacific right whale, and sperm whale, as presented by department staff.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.